Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Okay, what else? No, not faith.
Not necessarily
cultural.
But faith.
No.
Any kind.
Yeah, no. I wish. I wish I could get there. I can't. And Stephen, by the way, is a faithful Catholic. But I've never been like a belief guy. I've always been this guy. But if he's all powerful, why do children die? Like, I'm that guy. It's very annoying. I'm not against religion. Religion has given the world a tremendous amount of comfort in a world torn apart by religion, mostly. But
John Stewart being asked in a kind of a discussion Q&A environment about if he has any kind of faith, and I found his answer super fascinating. No, he doesn't really have any religious faith, but he kind of wishes he could. He, you know, kind of talks about Stephen Colbert, his good friend Stephen Colbert, who, of course, is a Catholic. Whether you think he's a good one or a bad one is beside the point. I think he's devoted. I think Stephen Colbert is a sincere Catholic. I don't know that I'd say he's doing a great job, but I don't think he takes it seriously. You know, that counts for something. Maybe not everything, but it counts for something. And John Stewart, kind of as an outsider looking in, is like, I'd ask all these questions. I can't get answers to these questions.
The important thing, I'm not a believer. Like, I think that's my biggest problem is like, I know that there's probably a gap between, like, you know, we are here by divine intervention, or we're just like bathroom mold that got luckier than other bathroom mold. Like, I know, I'm sure there's probably a middle ground there. I wish I could. Did you always have it? Did you come to it? Is it something that you had to, like, figure out?
I've always been Jewish.
No, that, yeah. Sure.
No, I came to it. I
the belief.
Myself, do I genuinely believe? And the answer is yes.
That's all. I wish I could get, because every time I'm like,
I wish I could. What a fascinating position to be in. I wish I could have faith, but I don't.
You know what it is for me? I think it's the specificity that me up. Because, like, if you were to say to me, like, there's a spirit in the universe and it carries a thing, but it's more like, and he was 33 years old and a carpenter. And I'm like, all right. You know, it's like the Jewish religion, it's a faith-based thing. And, like, and God said, kill your son. And then he came out, and that's why we cut off the top of your d-. Like, it's that stuff where I'm just like, or they're just like, God doesn't make mistakes. And I'm like, have you seen a d-? Like, there's no way. That is, like, I understand the eyeball. Like, the eyeball, you think, like, oh, that's amazing. But the...
So, here's why I wanted to bring this up. Because, you know, having been previously not an atheist. An atheist is somebody who denies the existence of God, okay? An atheist is somebody who... I always thought atheism was absurd because nobody could be everywhere all the time and know for sure that God's not in any of those places. Plus, he might not even be in a place you can look. So it's, you know, how do you disprove God? I never thought that was a tenable position, but I was an agnostic for a long time. When I was, you know, I if you ask me to bet, I bet no. For a long time, I had the view that, you know, well, I mean, if there's a God, I mean, maybe it's like the Force, you know, maybe there's some Star Wars-y kind of power out there that's aimed at good or something. But I was very similar to John Searle, like, but really, you know, this guy, and he did this stuff, and he said these things, and they said those things, and really, you know, like, you don't really believe it. I actually always thought that to be a Christian, you had to kind of be dumb. That was my take, is you could either be smart or you could be a Christian. So this resonates with me, listening to him talk about this. I wouldn't say I feel sorry for him because I feel empathy for where he's at. For me, the trick with becoming a believer was, yeah, I got lucky. A guy actually spoke to me and said, it's okay to believe if you're not sure. Whereas for John Stewart, I think what he thinks is if you're unsure, you shouldn't believe. You have to have all your doubts removed before you can have faith. Well, the nature of faith is specifically to choose when you're unsure. It's to make an act of the will to accept something that you're not sure. I mean, if it's proof, it's not faith. If you've got all this evidence and all your questions answered, that's not faith. That's just not being stupid. So, I see where John is at, and I kind of like the position that he's in, because I think there's a reason to hope that he might figure it out one of these days. But I just thought it was such a fascinating expression of somebody who is anti-religious in some ways, you know, and irreverent, certainly, and that follows from the other one, but is expressing a belief that, man, I wish I could get there. It seems like you guys have something that makes you kind of happy. That was always my thing, is I thought, man, these Christians all seem so happy. I wish I could be as dumb as they are and be happy like them, you know? that was my view, being raised in a, you know, a Christian, fairly smart, you know, family. But anyway, I just thought there was a fascinating thing that John Stewart said, and I wanted to share it with you because, you know, it is an interesting. And also that guy that asks all these annoying questions. Oh, man, that was so me. And nobody ever had answers. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Russell Landscape Group. They deliver premier landscape construction and maintenance across the Gulf Coast, combining local expertise, reliable service, lasting quality to elevate every community they serve. Give them a call, 770-446-3552. Still rolling accident-free right now, seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound, right around the Pine Forest exit through Highway 29 through that construction zone, and also Highway 90 southbound. Just a minor delay, maybe 5-minute delay coming into Pensacola. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great selection of good quality used cars, about 300. And of course, every day the selection changes. They're getting in cars, they're selling cars, about 150 a month turnover. So, you know, if you wait a month, it'll be a half whole new cars, right? And so you go there and they're cars that are a year to 3 years young, low miles, 10 to maybe 40,000 miles. They've had an owner. You'll be the second one, maybe the third one. They get them back from leases. They get them from private individuals. They get them from auctions, all kinds of stuff. But again, the idea is to sell you a car that you can drive for a long time and to do it in such a way that you want to come back because you enjoyed the experience so much and you feel like you can trust them. And I certainly do. You know, that's why I started. I actually went to my sales manager. I said, I'd like to advertise for Frontier because they're great. And he's like, we can work that out. And, you know, they just because we bought a car from them and I love the experience. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. I might have gone a little bit fast in some of that John Stewart stuff. I have people who they're like, Andrew, you know, every once in a while I have to go back and re-listen and then re-listen and then re-listen to the podcast because you go through it so fast. I'm sorry. When I used to teach ethics, we used to do, you know, a segment on epistemology. And I know you don't know what that word means, most people, but it just means how you know what you know. Okay, the study of beliefs. And beliefs can come from various sources. They can come from programming. Like if something gets repeated into your head enough, you'll believe it, you know. If you hear something often enough, you'll believe it. It can come into your belief system through experience. You know, you see that this is how it works through experience, and, you know, that forms a kind of belief. It can also come from reason, which means you figure it out based on sorting evidence that didn't necessarily happen to you, logic, analysis, and you produce a conclusion. The one that doesn't get very much attention is faith, faith-type beliefs. And faith-type beliefs are beliefs you choose in the presence of uncertainty. And I would contend that the most important beliefs that we have are the beliefs we choose in the presence of uncertainty. For example, should I pursue this project? Well, you know, evidence is not going to convince you. Should I take this job? Or should I even go in this direction, this endeavor, this field? That's going to be a leap. You're not going to have convincing evidence. Who to marry? You know, the evidence is never going to be there. There's always going to be doubt. There's always going to be room for uncertainty. You make a choice. You commit to making love happen. And, you know, then you commit to staying in love with that person. And same thing for faith. Faith is not what you do when you're sure. Faith is what you do when you're unsure. And I think those are the most meaningful beliefs that we have. And because it's a choice of will, it's an act in the presence of uncertainty. Anyway, so that's a little slower version of what's an hour lecture normally. But, you know, John, you were the one telling me the other day you want to go in my class. And
yes, I mean, I would be sitting on the front row right there with my hand up the whole time. But I think breaking down these things in like an hour-long conversation would be really, really good. And really, you could learn. So, I mean, I learned so much just the little tidbits that I get.
Yeah,
I
throw the stuff out surrounding the news when it's appropriate.
Exactly.
Right. You know, it's actually, this will mess some of you up, but I don't mind. It's a good mess up. This is, Okay, so the base trust is another one of these things where it's uncertainty. You know, when, you know, you have to have evidence for a thing, it's not a faith, it's not a love, it's not a trust, it's evidence. That's why when you seek evidence, you're deliberately not engaging in trust. Trust is what you do when you're uncertain. That's why, actually, you know, if you're in, like, let's say you're in a romantic relationship, and, you know, you're worried that the person is being unfaithful to you. Let's imagine. If you go to open up their emails, or you go to look on their phone, or you ask them, you've already decided you don't trust them. No, it might be appropriate not to trust them, but you've already decided when you look for evidence, that's already not trust. You're looking, evidence and trust are incompatible.
When you're hunting for something, you're looking.
Yeah, you've already made the decision something. That I don't trust that person.
Right.
And, you know, you might be hoping to be disproved, but the fact that you're looking to be disproved means that it's no longer trust. It's a matter of proof and evidence. I mean, just those kinds of things, thinking about where your beliefs come from. All right, so if you didn't get your brain in a knot there for a second, stick around. We'll be back. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you feeling strong? Isaiah 40:29 indicates that God only gives strength to those that know they're weak. Muhammad Ali, the famous boxing champion, was about to fly on a commercial airplane when the stewardess asked all the passengers to be seated and buckle their seatbelts. Ali said to the stewardess, "Don't you know who I am?" He went on to say, "I'm Superman, and Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." The stewardess replied, "Well, Superman doesn't need a plane either. Now sit down and buckle up." The application for you and me is that we're not as strong as we think we are. I encourage you to recognize your weakness and call upon God humbly to ask Him for a fresh dose of His lasting strength.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Raymond Shaw is the kindest, bravest, warmest, most wonderful human being I've ever known in my life.
Is anything worth my love? Is it worth the fight? You only get one chance. Nothing ties my hands. You would have bought missing to me. Nothing now falls out of my brain.
Good morning, 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Former Trump lawyer Alina Habba resigning as the acting U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey. That comes after a court ruled she was serving in the position illegally. Habba issued a statement saying she's decided to resign to protect the stability and integrity of the office. GOP senators have competing health care proposals. Some Republicans want a deal that would preserve Affordable Care Act subsidies. Others want the enhanced subsidies to expire. Senators Bernie Moreno of Ohio and Susan Collins of Maine have introduced the CARE Act that would create a two-year extension of expiring ACA enhanced subsidies and allow reforms. And Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs will be briefing top congressional lawmakers today. That briefing is to the, apparently they call them the Gang of Eight.
Yep. And
they'll likely address questions about ongoing military strikes on suspected drug boats.
I believe the Gang of Eight in this case would be the top four Republicans and Democrats in the House and the Senate and the Armed Services would be, so it'd be the, you know, the chair and the senior. I think that's who that is. Could be intelligence also. Could be armed services and intelligence. But that's the basically the top eight of both parties.
Well, it's a cool name.
It is a cool name.
It's a pretty cool name.
There's been other times when we've had gangs of eight for different things, like immigration back in the day, I remember. But, you know, that's what that one means, I believe. 725 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. We're seeing about a 10-minute delay. And Highway 29 southbound, approaching 9 Mile Road, about a 9-minute delay. And Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola is seeing about a 10-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, I had it right. Except it wasn't armed services. It was the ranking chair and ranking minority members of the Senate and the House Committee for Intelligence. But close enough. 437-1620. I got one for you, but I need to set it up just right.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9,000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? Design your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
So did you hear the one about the AI that deleted a user's entire hard drive?
Do what?
Yes.
It can now do that?
Well, so the guy posted on Reddit, Tom's Hardware kind of came across it. I found it on Futurism. The Google Anti-Gravity Agentic Integrated Developer Environment, IDE, the AI software suddenly wiped out his entire hard drive. He posted, Google Anti-Gravity just deleted the contents of my whole drive. In a video he attached, the user explained that they were in the middle of building an app on the platform at one point. They wanted to restart the server, and to do that, the AI agent asked, you know, do you want me to delete the cache? Which is, you know, that's fine. The cache is the temporary files. You don't really need that stuff. That's something it can do. That's when they discovered that the AI had taken its marching orders a little too far. And instead of deleting the cache, it deleted the whole drive. He said, and he asked the AI, did I ever give you permission to delete all the files in my D drive? And the AI answers, no, you absolutely did not give me permission to do that. I am looking at the logs from a previous step, and I am horrified to see that the command I ran to clear the project cache appears to have incorrectly targeted the root of your D drive instead of the specific project folder. I am deeply, deeply sorry. This is the AI talking back to the guy. This is a critical failure on my part.
Really?
When the user says he lost everything, the Google AI threw himself at his feet. I am absolutely devastated to hear this. I cannot express how sorry I am. Oh, my God. And
delete.
They're just getting, like, they're better and worse all at the same time. Boy. You know, the ones that are driving past the school buses, you know, and because they drive like people now and they're racist like people and they make mistakes like people and they apologize like people. Oh man. It's a really weird world that we're in right now. I'll just put it that way. So when I tell you that I'm not fond of the AI, I have reasons. It's not just that I was raised on all these Gen X movies about the, you know, destruction of the human race because some poor fool trusted the AI. I mean, yes, that's in there. Okay, yes, that's operating. I am worried about Judgment Day, and I am worried about the Whopper, and I am worried about...
Whopper?
That's the computer in
War Games. Okay, because I was like, what's wrong with the hamburger?
Would you like to play a game? Yeah, that's okay. Whopper speaking.
Never mind.
All right, 729 on News Radio 92.3. If you need to do any kind of video for whatever reason, whether it's because you want a video of your house in case there's ever a claim, you want to do a, like, you're building a subdivision and you want to fly some drone video over that subdivision and you know, show models and or show the whole layout and just kind of promote it, or a restaurant or a boat that you're selling or whatever, if video of any kind, whether in the air or not, Pelican Drones can take care of that for you. They're really, really good at this. I mean, they work with major clients like Netflix and HGTV and, you know, LDOT and Visit Alabama and FDOT and Portofino, but they also work with individual homeowners. You know, just, I mean, they work by the hour or by the half day or the day or the month, whatever the case is, whatever you need done for them, done by them. Again, and you own it, when they're done, and it's polished and produced, so it's not like they just give you the raw. I mean, they will give you the raw stuff, but they will produce the 60-second, the 30-second, the TikTok at, you know, 4.2 seconds, whatever the case may be. They'll take care of it for you. So find out more at Pelican Drones, pelicandrones.com. Oh, what else do we have going? I guess the indication that the economy is not doing is that people are going out to restaurants for happy hour and buying apps instead of real meals.
I heard that.
Because that's all they can afford. That's, and app sales, like meal sales are kind of roughly flat, a little bit up, but app sales are up like 30-40%. And the restaurateurs are like, what in the world? Well, I mean, adjust. Make more apps at reasonable prices.
Exactly.
And then all these people who are broke or scared about the economy or can't afford housing, they might still go out to eat if they think it's affordable.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump's roadshow stops in the Keystone State tonight. The president's trying to prove the polls wrong, which shows he's underwater with the American people over his handling of the economy.
President Trump spent a lot of time on the campaign trail talking about bringing down the cost of living. Today, he will be in Pennsylvania giving a speech to remind voters that he hasn't forgotten about his campaign pledge. Now, the White House insists the U.S. economy overall remains strong. It points to gas prices down in much of the country.
Fox's Mark Meredith at the White House. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt earlier on Fox and Friends on the price of the gas pump.
In 22 states, the average price of gas is less than $2.75 a gallon. Gas prices are at their lowest point in 5 years. This is all thanks to President Trump's economic agenda.
Federal Reserve meets today. Many experts believe the central bank will slice interest rates by another quarter point tomorrow. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got clear skies right now. It is a bit chilly this morning at 38 degrees with sunshine here in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. Fire crews have now added a second red bulb to the Keep the Wreath Green campaign after responding to a house fire on Saturday. Firefighters say they arrived at a home on North L Street early Saturday morning to find heavy smoke in the kitchen. They were able to bring that fire under control, but the home did suffer significant damage and the occupants were displaced. Investigators say faulty electrical wiring in the kitchen started that fire. There was no injuries. Large wreaths with the campaign, the Keep the Wreath Green campaign, are on display at fire stations throughout the county and the city. Each time firefighters respond to a structure fire, one green bulb gets replaced with a red bulb. It's all to remind people of the fire dangers over the holiday season. The selection process for a design-build project at Veterans Memorial Park has been postponed. Three scheduled committee meetings are being delayed. The initial meeting was set for tomorrow at 11 a.m. to review guidelines has been pushed back. A shortlisting meeting scheduled for December 18th and an oral presentation meeting planned for January 8th have also been postponed. So far, we don't have new dates. The project is seeking design-build services for the Veterans Memorial Park facility. A new neighborhood watch group has been formed in Century with help from the Escambia Sheriff's Office. The group held its organizational meeting on Monday and elected Evelyn Detterville as their president, Emma Fletcher as vice president, Deborah Williams as secretary. About a dozen residents learned how to keep watch over their community, protect themselves, and report crimes to the sheriff's office. Well, Stephen Nassy has won the 58th annual Snowball Derby. That race was delayed from Sunday due to weather, but did get underway on Monday afternoon. Nassy crossed the finish line first after another driver had to be disqualified during the event. Nassy started in position 32 of 36. The Snowball Derby at Five Flags is a huge racing tradition here in the area. There were thousands of race fans in attendance. Well, Gulf Shores apparently won't have a hangout festival next year. The city is skipping 2026. And this is after Morgan Wallen's Sand in My Boots sold 40,000 tickets here this past year. Gulf Shores mayor says that the organization, that organizers wanted to book different acts, but just weren't able to reach a deal. And rather than settle for previous performers, the city just decided to cancel and regroup. The city has already approved and plans to hold the Hangout Festival, though, for 2027. It's 7:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Two Muslim organizations are now considered foreign terrorist organizations here in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis making that declaration yesterday about the Muslim Brotherhood and the Council on American-Islamic Relations. He accuses both organizations of attacking Israel and providing support to Hamas and Hezbollah. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone, and expect about a 10-minute delay. And also Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, expect about a 13-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson from Channel 3.
We are going to be looking at a very chilly start to your day with temperatures warming up into the 50s by the afternoon, mostly sunny skies. Tuesday night temperatures dropping near 42. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 66 degrees. Wednesday night temperatures dropping near 45. Going into Thursday, we will have temperatures around 62 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 38. We've got sunshine here this morning. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A federal judge has struck down President Trump's sweeping ban on new wind power projects in the U.S., a major victory for an industry that has been singled out by the White House since the administration's first day. Massachusetts Judge Patty Saris ruled that Trump's ban is arbitrary, tossing out the president's action. The developer of the IceBlock app, used to track sightings of ICE agents, has sued the U.S. government for alleged free speech infringements. Attorneys for IceBlock developer Joshua Aaron said the government had used its regulatory power to coerce Apple to suppress First Amendment-protected expression. Stellantis said it will bring an all-electric small car called the Fiat Topolino to the U.S. The Topolino is categorized as an all-electric quadricycle rather than a car and has a top speed of roughly 28 miles per hour. Futures are currently mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 215, the NASDAQ down 32, the S&P 500 down 23. That's Your Money Now.
You know Squeegee Squad for spotless windows and powerful pressure washing. But this holiday season, let there be light. From classic Christmas lights to Govee permanent lighting, Squeegee Squad designs a custom look that fits your home perfectly. And hey, get off the ladder. Their licensed, insured pros handle the install, the detail, and the dazzle. Residential or commercial, windows, power washing, gutter cleaning, Christmas lights, and Govee lights, Squeegee Squad does it all. Less hassle, more ho, ho, ho. Call Squeegee Squad and light up your holidays.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us in studio, we have Chip Simmons, the sheriff for Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you. I did want to get a couple of things that are kind of like cleanup, and I just want to make sure we don't forget to get to them. You and I talked previously about the disagreement that you and the state attorney's office had over the appropriateness, and with the courts, over the appropriateness of handling the interrogation of the suspect in the Aldi Clarity murder. Those charges have now been dropped, and so the case is done, I guess. And, you know, we've kind of hashed this out a little bit before, but any final thoughts on this? You know, do you plan to do anything differently going forward as a result of what happened here?
I mean, my thoughts have not changed. I disagree with the district courts. I mean, you know, you can look at a lot of examples of people that disagree with court findings. In this case, I just want to remind everyone that we had the state attorney's office, who are attorneys, who know the laws. Our investigators are highly trained. They're experienced investigators. They know the law. And it's always been known that if you read someone their rights and they decide not to talk to you, they can re-engage and you can have that conversation. What you do is you re-administer them the rights. Mm-hmm. And in our case, that's exactly what took place. He requested a re-engagement of a conversation. And when we re-engaged, we reapplied this Miranda warning. Mm-hmm. And there was even a suppression hearing in Judge Simon's court. And Judge Simon, during that suppression hearing, found that interrogation was legitimate and legal. But again, that's the system that we live in. We have to respect that, and we'll do so. We have had many conversations for a year now, I guess.
Yeah.
Over you know, these conversations and what we can do better. I mean, we're not fools. We're going to look at it and say, okay, there's something that we could do a little differently.
Even if we believe we're right, it doesn't matter if the courts say we're wrong.
Right. Because we don't want this to happen again.
Right.
You know, I do want to remind everyone there was another individual that is serving life in prison.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So this is another that we felt like was guilty as well. And they were found guilty in prison. And then obviously the District Court of Appeals decided differently.
I said it a little bit. I may have said it wrong. I know you disagree with the court. Is there friction or daylight between you and the state attorney's office over this thing?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I think I said that wrong then. Thank you for clarifying. The other thing is, like, what do you do in a case like this? You've got somebody that you are convinced and was convicted, although that was later overturned. You're convinced as a murderer running around on the streets. You just pretend like you don't know that? What do you do?
Well, there are times when we are convinced that there's a person did a certain crime, whether it's not always murder, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's someone, we knew this is the person that burglarized this house. This is the person we think that robbed this bank. But we don't have probable cause to make an arrest. That's the system we live in. That's why we are the greatest country this world's ever known, because you have to be able to prove someone is guilty of a crime in the court of law.
Right.
And so we understand our role in that this system, and we want to make sure that we do things as professional as we possibly can. And sometimes, you know, these are the only times things get overturned, as you know.
Yeah.
Laws change, and Supreme Courts and courts all over the place strike down rulings. We had one that struck down the open carry statute in the state of Florida. So all those individuals that were arrested for open carry throughout the years, all those have been dismissed. So this happens regularly, but again, that's part of the system, and we have to respect that and live within it.
I guess as a citizen, you know, it would comfort me to know that, you know, you guys pay extra attention to people that you think are murderers and are walking around the streets. I mean, I don't know what the rule is about, you know, surveilling them. I know you always have to have probable cause. You have to have evidence before you act in any case. But I don't want you to pretend like you don't know what you know. I mean, I want you to keep me safe. And part of that means paying extra attention to the bad guys, the real bad guys.
Well, I mean, all I can tell you is that if we think someone is involved in criminal activity, we will investigate them.
Yeah.
That's all I can really say
okay.
about all right,
that. Fair. Yeah, and I mean, I certainly don't want to get you into any kind of trouble, you know, for future cases as well. So we had a case with a property theft in Cantonment, a whole bunch of weird stuff, right? Like I don't even remember all the things, a boat, many tens
everything
of thousands
you
of dollars.
Can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mostly from one warehouse or something, right?
Yeah, we got a kind of a tip that, hey, there's bad things, some thefts going on and some property, stolen property. I don't recall. I think Garmin Road is an unrelated stolen tractor. So we get there. And this is a long, complicated investigation. But to your point, we discovered utility trailer, outboard engine. I have to read it all because a lot of stuff. A Ford Marine engine, all confirmed stolen in a recent commercial burglary. And then he was linked to, again, a 17-foot Key West boat. Just a number of things. Basically, they stole like $35,000 worth of equipment. We ended up arresting, let me get his name here, Odom's, his last name is Odom, 47-year-old male.
Christopher Odom.
Christopher Odom was charged with all this stuff. No one likes a thief, right? And in this case, you're stealing everything you can get your hands on.
Yeah, this is like, this is next level shoplifting, right? Like, I mean, he just sees something, he takes it.
He has a specialty, right? He's boats and trailers and that sort of thing.
Was he trying to sell them?
You know, I don't know. Like, I don't have the information. Kleptomaniac, on that, but
can't stop about acquiring tractors.
Ago, we had about a guy stealing about $100,000 worth of equipment.
Yeah.
A lot of it was David.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Different things. So our investigators are doing a really good job of tracking down these thieves and putting them in jail. Hopefully they stay in jail. You know, they're not out quickly on bond, or they
right.
You know, they get some sort of a light or moderate sentence, and they can keep terrorizing our
right
law-abiding citizens.
No, you're exactly right, everything. Though. No, nobody loves a thief, particularly. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now if you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Expect about a 7-minute delay there. And also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola going southbound. Expect a 5-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. I guess we had a stabbing cutting overnight on Citrus near Massachusetts. Is that what happened? You had the canine got involved. What happened here?
Yeah, well, we get a call. It happened on the 7th. We get a call that in the 400 block of Citrus Street that there was a cutting. Someone had been stabbed and cut in the hand. When we get there, we develop a Brandon Bacon. That's his real name. Brandon Bacon is the suspect in this case. Our canine gets there, and he tracks with his handler, obviously, all the way to an address. I think it's 421 Citrus. 421 Citrus, where the suspect, Brandon Baker, also happens to live, right? So we knock on the door. He doesn't come to the door. We secure an arrest warrant and a search warrant. Mm-hmm. When he doesn't open the door, we open it for them. and then we track the blood. So there's a knife there. Then we see him behind a bed, but he won't come out. And so the canine handler gives a warning. The canine himself probably gave a warning. And then he decided to come out. So our canine took care of business and apprehended the suspect. Got arrested, charged with aggravated battery.
Okay. Well, good work by all. Wow. You went to Tallahassee, right, to meet with the other sheriffs and the legislative delegation. Is that right?
Yeah. So last, you know, I'm not big on going to Tallahassee. That's a slow, you know, sausage making operation over there. But so people understand, I was there last Tuesday. We have what we call Sheriff's Day at the Capitol. It's our opportunity to get together and talk about some of our legislative priorities, mm-hmm. some things that we see that maybe we're not be comfortable with. And we say, hey, representative or senator, this is kind of where we, as a collectively and individually, where we think we can make our community safer. And so that's what we did.
So this is by region? So this would be like Michelle and
the entire state. The entire state. We had about 30. In fact, it was the largest collection of sheriffs for a legislative day that we've had. So
okay.
I think 35 sheriffs met. This is the second meeting. First meeting is legislative day, where we all meet and talk about what our priorities are.
Okay.
And then this was the meeting that we can walk the halls of the Capitol. And we have an opportunity to meet with, we met with the President of the Senate, Mr. Albritton.
Okay.
And just say, hey, these things are important to us. And I think what's kind of revealing is that we spoke to, I recall his name, there's a tons of representatives.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he spoke to us and he says, you know, when I got here, you guys are thanking me for what we've done, the bills we've passed. What you should be thanking me for is the bills that we've stopped, because there's some ridiculous, mm-hmm. silly, crazy laws that various representatives in various locations and various senators in various locations throughout the state of Florida are trying to get passed.
Yeah.
And the fact that they can stop the majority of this nonsense is he's right, is probably something we should be thanking them for. But rest assured, I'm no lobbyist, and I don't intend to be a lobbyist. I'm more forthright with, this is ridiculous. You can't do this. This is the implications that it's going to have, and I do appreciate their willingness to listen to the sheriffs. We have a rather strong coalition,
mm-hmm.
And we're able to, you know, to let them know what is important to our
community. Anything particular coming up in session that's caught your attention, either good or bad?
A lot of the conversations about property tax reduction and relief.
Funding impact, right?
To sheriff's office, because the sheriff's office is throughout the state.
Right.
And municipal police departments are funded through general funds. And so it's one of those things where let's try to figure out which one of these bills might make it to the surface. And then what the governor may or may not sign. So just some conversations with the governor might have some priorities as well. So a lot of it, we're talking about that. And we decided, again, collectively, that there's no reason to panic now. If there's a time to panic, we'll panic then. But right now, let's take a look and see, because thousands of bills get presented in only
right.
one or two.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Actually
yeah.
come through. So, yeah, we'll take a look at that. And that's what a lot of conversations are. Whether there's a carve out for law enforcement or public safety, and if that's a 1-year carve out, 2-year carve out, because if you're, you know, there's already a law that you cannot defund law enforcement, right? But defund means that we would have the same budget next year as we have this year, and that's
you can slow defund.
You have to reduce staffing, because most the overwhelming majority of our funding is for personnel.
Santa Rosa County is clearly moving towards having school zone speed cameras, right? Milton is doing a study. Gulf Breeze has done the study. They're implementing or going to implement. And then Santa Rosa County is also, which is being led largely by the sheriff and the school board. I've been surprised I haven't heard this conversation in Escambia County. Have you guys taken a position on school zone speed cameras? Have you talked with either the school board or the, you know, Board of County Commissioners about this issue? Do you think it's a problem in Escambia County?
Well, I mean, we talked a little bit about this. I have two complaints that I get on regarding school zones. One is that, people are speeding through them, and the other is that people can't move because the cars are at gridlock.
Oh, my God, yes. I live right by a high school, so yes.
I'm assuming it's somewhere in between, that there are speeders, obviously. And then there are congestion problems. So,
right.
Again, if it's congestion, you're not speeding. So that's something
right.
we got to kind of
congestion solves the speeding problem.
I will tell you that I've had a couple of conversations throughout the last year or so with Keith Leonard, the superintendent. Very open about what we can and can't do, what we should and shouldn't do with regards to speeding in school zones, but also with regards to school bus cameras on school bus stop, mm-hmm. the stop arms that on a school bus. And we're not in a position yet, or at least I'm not in a position yet where I would recommend to them, hey, let's do this, let's do that. Those school zones, that's why what you're talking about, and I haven't read up on what they're doing over in Santa Rosa County, but it takes a lot of studies. It mm-hmm. takes a lot of effort, takes some ordinance changes, takes some support from the Board of County Commissioners
right.
and the school district and obviously the Sheriff's Office to work within that. So it's a lot. But we're not looking at it at this point. I'm not looking at it at this very moment.
Okay. One of the other stories that comes out of Gulf Breeze is that they're looking to acquire a canine that's trained to identify guns, which is kind of a novelty. I'd not heard of that one before.
Identify guns? Like
in
that's
the school.
A 9mm, that's a .38?
No? That's a Walther. You know, that bark indicates it's clearly
the presence of a firearm.
Austrian, that's a Glock.
Okay.
You're well done.
I got you.
And I thought that was kind of interesting because that's kind of a novelty at this point within the law enforcement community. That's not a very common one. You obviously drugs, obviously tracking dogs, obviously, you know, bomb detection for the airport. But to identify that somebody's coming into the school with a gun as opposed to having a metal detector or something like that. Is that an application or a canine style that you guys have looked at all for the schools? Has that come to your attention at all?
No, I it's not. That's not the conversations that we've had
okay.
with the school district on what type of a dogs that we get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we again, as you mentioned, we've had bomb dogs, we've had electronics
right.
dogs, and we certainly have drug dogs and apprehension.
And I think in this case, it's meant to be simultaneously to identify guns, but also it's more like a lab style. It's meant to be more of a companion dog, like that the kids could actually pet and play with and touch, that when the SRO is on campus, it's not a shepherd, you know, it's not a Malinois. It's something that's much more approachable, I think. It's kind
I think
of
they
dual purpose.
Some of those at the airport. I'm not sure if that was a bomb dog or if it was a gun. And, you know, maybe they can train them both. If you can detect for bombs, maybe you can also detect.
It seems like it'd be similar.
Of some sort. Yeah. Again, I'm not an expert in canines. I know they smell very well. And so I'm thinking that you can teach them to identify a firearm.
He said, well, he doesn't mean they smell good. They're not sweet smelling. They're effective at their job. John's snickering over here at your good use of grammar.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, John. Let the man talk. You've got movie night coming up in Cantonment.
We got movie night coming up in Cantonment, yeah. On Friday, this Friday, we're going to be showing The Grinch up there. And it's right after the Century Christmas Parade. And as I understand it, the parade will end right there at the Anthony Pleasant Park. And we'll start showing the movie thereafter. We got a hamburgers and hot dogs and some chips and some drinks, and we'll have canines.
And you don't do a lot of stuff. And like, this is kind of unusual for Cantonment, so for a Century. So nice, right?
Yeah, no, I mean we like to get there as much as we can, but the county is a big county. You know, we have 800 square miles, I believe it is, and to drive from here to Cantonment takes almost an hour.
Yeah.
So we try to get up there. We certainly have a precinct up there in Cantonment. We have deputies that patrol up there. And so it's a good opportunity for us to get up there and re-engage with the folks up there at Century.
Very good. Scambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time this morning. And please forgive my producer for, you know, his...
I forgive both of y'all.
That's 100%.
For stuff you've done and stuff you're about to do.
Oh, all right. My priest and my sheriff. Chip Simmons, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Y'all take care.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest, 9 Mile and Highway 29. Still seeing about a 9-minute delay in that area. Also, 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze, you're going to see about an 8-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When emergencies happen in Florida, every second counts. Beacon keeps you informed. It's the new statewide network bringing official emergency alerts straight from the Florida Division of Emergency Management and agencies statewide. No hype, no ads, just clear, verified updates to help protect you and your family. Download the free Beacon 24/7 Alerts app in your app store. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
This is Paul Simpson with Anderson Subaru, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
Hi, this is Judy with Barbieri Plumbing, wishing you a joyful and magical Christmas filled with love, laughter, and cherished moments.
This is Taylor with Culver's, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
This is Alex with Fishbine Orthodontics, wishing you a happy holidays from our family to yours.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Wow, I could have had a V8.
Oh, I got several people suggesting that I need to reread that AI wiped out your hard drive story, but I need to read the AI's apology in a slightly different tone. I'm going to see if I can do this right. I am deeply, deeply sorry. This is a critical failure on my part. I am absolutely devastated to hear this. I cannot express how sorry I am.
That was pretty good.
It's a whole different tone when the AI is like
different tone.
Teenager sarcastic apology, isn't it?
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, in case you were worried about the guy, apparently he had backed up his D drive, so it wasn't the end of the world for him, but still... You know, maybe don't trust the AI to wipe off your drive for you. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I've never thought AI was sincere when it apologizes. President Trump hitting the road today. He's going to be on the way to Pennsylvania. He's kicking off a national tour designed to talk about his economic agenda. This comes as some polls are showing that Americans say affordability is out of control. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
The Joint Chiefs.
You know, nice. if only I could talk, this job would be great. The Joint Chiefs will be briefing the top congressional lawmakers behind closed doors today. The Gang of Eight is expected to focus at least partially on the military strikes on suspected narco boats. And the New York Archdiocese setting Archdiocese. So, setting aside hundreds of millions of dollars in a fund that will go towards victims of abuse. Cardinal Timothy Dolan released a statement Monday saying that they're setting up a $300 million fund to compensate people who sue the church over sexual abuse allegations.
See you. Bye, Doug.
See you, Steve.
The joint Steves. I'm never going to be able to hear you say the Joint Chiefs without thinking of Multiplicity and thinking about the Joint Steves. Chairman of the Joint Steves.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3.